Our theme has been much more in 24. From Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another, so much the more. As you see the day approaching, and I believe that day is here that we need to get a hold of God, and God can get a hold of us. And not a little bit of it, but a lot of it. Not just more, but much more. So much more. I'm glad God's able to do so much more. And I just believe in my heart I'm able to do so much more. And we've been looking at some things that we need much more of in 24. We looked at the word anointing, much more anointing. We looked at the word blessing, much more blessing. And last week we looked at the word compassion, more compassion, much more compassion. Showing our love and our concern for a lost and a dying world that needs Jesus. And remember, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I'll tell you, when nothing else makes the difference, according to Jude 22, compassion will. I want to come this morning and talk about dedication. Much more dedication. I believe if there's ever been a time, the church, God's people, needs to be more dedicated to the cause of Christ. It's in this day, it's in this hour in which we live. It seems like today in our world, that word dedication is foreign. A lot of people are not dedicated to anything but themselves. Brother, if your marriage is going to last, you've got to be dedicated to it. Somebody asked me, they said, why are guys so nervous at their wedding? Do you realize the words we're making that young man say? Better or worse? Richer for poor. Sickness and in health. And then when he's just about to get over being poor and sick, he has to say to death do us part. And he's wondering, how long have I got before I kick the bucket? Amen? If you're going to have a successful career, you got to be dedicated to it. If your life's going to be worth living, you got to put something into it. Dedicated. The word means devoted totally to a cause. Giving your heart, soul, mind, and body into something that is worth it. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. Fear the Lord. Honor God. Serve Him. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, give it all you got, because he is worthy of it. As I was thinking about the little subject of being dedicated, devoted to something, I thought about two little stories I read one time. I read one about a baseball manager. And by the way, if you can watch baseball, you can watch paint dry, but we'll move on with that. The only thing more boring than watching baseball is watching somebody play golf or my wife go shopping at the mall. But this manager of a ball team, he wouldn't start a game unless every seat in the stadium was filled. I mean, he wouldn't even start it unless every seat in the stadium was filled. Man, they got out there for a championship game and there was one seat beside this little lady. Boy, that manager run up there and said, why is that seat empty? She said, sir, it's a season ticket holder. And he wasn't able to come today. Why ain't he able to come? Said, sir, he passed away. He's with the Lord. And he said, well, why do you bring some of your family? She said, they've gone to his funeral. It was my husband. She was not going to miss that game. And I don't want to leave my golfing friends out of it. That was a fellow one day getting ready to his little tee shot, man. He was going to one stroke away from winning it all. And a hearse went by. He laid his club down, took his hat off, put it over his heart, and saluted it when it went by. Man, his buddies were so impressed, they said, did you know that person? He said, I sure did. I was married to her for several years. He was dedicated. He was not going to miss. I believe today if we would throw our heart and our soul and our mind and our body into the things of God, I believe we could have revival one more time. Dedicated, devoted, given over completely. We need more of that, not less of that in 2024. I want to come this morning to Romans chapter number 12, and I'm going to read, I believe, the greatest passage in the Bible on a Christian being devoted and dedicated to the cause of Christ. He says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And I believe this is the line here that gets me, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I don't know about you this morning, but that sounds like to me somebody is devoted, dedicated, giving their all to a noble cause. And can I remind you this morning, there is no more noble cause than the cause of Jesus Christ. The Bible is filled with men and women that devoted themselves to a noble and great cause. All you got to do is go to Hebrews 11 and look at God's Hall of Fame of Faith. And their names are there. Men and women that totally devoted themselves, dedicated themselves to something that was noble and worthy. You walk through that Hall of Fame and you'll find that Abel was devoted and dedicated to his altar. Noah was dedicated to his work. Abraham was dedicated to his nation. Jacob was dedicated to his family. Moses was dedicated to his nation. And all of those prophets were devoted to the call of God that was upon our life. I believe the greatest illustration of dedication is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, that was devoted to do the will of his Father. The greatest human being that ever lived, Jesus Christ, made this statement, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Even in his dying hour, he was so dedicated to the will of his Father. He said, nevertheless, I'll drink this cup. And aren't you glad the world is a better place to live today because people that were before us, they were dedicated. They were devoted. I have zero tolerance for flag burners. Zero tolerance for flag burners. Because we live in a nation that was given to us by the back and blood and bones of men and women that were dedicated to keep the flag flying, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have a very beautiful building this morning to worship the Lord in because there's been a generation that was dedicated. I challenge you today to study church history. Even the very Bible we hold in our hand has been given to us through pure dedication to the cause of Christ. I stood there at the grave of my mother when we laid her to rest last week by where my father's been laying for 15 years. And I thought how blessed I was to have a mama and a daddy that were dedicated to their children, dedicated to their family, dedicated to their church. And the reason why they were dedicated to their Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ. I just help believe this morning that when we're dedicated to God, all other things fall in line. I'm going to tell you, if your relationship with God is right, all the others seem to fall in line. And I don't know about you today, but in the light of how good God has been to me, in the light of how wonderful God has been to me, He deserves my dedication. He doesn't deserve second place in our life, or third, or fourth, or fifth. In fact, if you're going to be honest with you, it's not Jesus just first, it's Jesus all. Because, honey, when He's got it all, there's nothing left. And may God give all of us today a hunger, a desire, a drawing to be closer to God in 24 than we've ever been in our Christian experience. May the church be like Enoch in the book of Genesis, where the Bible said he walked with God, and he walked with God, and he walked with God. Every day he walked with God. And one day he looked over to God and said, I'm enjoying the journey. And God says, well, the day is the last day of our stroll, because I'm about to take you home. And you're just as close to my house as I am to your house, so come on home with me and spend the day. And that's where he is. Wouldn't it be wonderful for the church to be so close to God that we could feel his unction and his breath? And I know this is an election year, and boy, you can store up a hornet's nest talking about politics. But only day what America needs, they need a church. They need some preachers and some church members that's dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to God. And get God on the scene and have revival again. I promise you, if all the churches that have steeples on their buildings and a man in a suit, because some don't do that, but anyway, they got somebody up there leading the congregation. If they could have old-fashioned revival, Osama, Obama, or your mama would not matter. Trump and Biden and all that other outfit, if the church has revival and the power of God falls upon us again, we'll do more for this country than 9 political parties combined together. Because Wall Street can't fix America. Pennsylvania Avenue can't fix America. The Supreme Court can't fix America. I'll tell you what's going to fix America. The church, the salt, the light. Getting a hold of God and God getting a hold of us. And drawing nigh to the Lord and God drawing nigh to us and getting dedicated and devoted to a great cause. And there is no greater cause than the cause of Christ, the cause of God. Your relationship to God today is the most important thing in your world. And if you're not saved today and you don't have a relationship with God, you can begin that this morning by trusting Christ as your Savior. But your greatest need today in your life is not a raise. It's not for your team to win. It's not to be a season ticket holder or kill the big buck or catch the big bass or catch the big sale. Our number one need today is our relationship to God. Getting close to God. Having God close to us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that money cannot buy and works cannot obtain. And I believe we're going to see a time before the Lord comes when the Lord will bring the church back to a place where we realize what's really important. What's really important is our relationship to God and how close we are to God and how close God is to us. Before I read these verses, let me quote one from the book of James. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Can I remind us this morning that God can do more in our life in 5 minutes in personal revival than any of us could do in the energy of the flesh? Let's look at this dedication from our text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me give you three things out of this verse. Number one, I want you to see today the plea that God makes. When you read your Bible, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I've often been told it's how you approach the subject. Sometimes determine the result of it is how you approach the subject. I've heard parents get on their children and say, you don't ask me for that, like that. How you approach someone is very important, they say. Well, I want you to look how God approaches us. He doesn't invade our life like a monster. He doesn't come and say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to judge you. You ought to do this. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. He doesn't come to us like that. Notice the appeal that he makes in this text. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That little word beseech in the text means to plead. It means to employ. It means to beg. It literally means to pull on one's heartstring so you can get a reaction. Now, this is what amazed me when I studied the word beseech. 99% of the time, the word beseech is a man, a human, like you and I, begging, employing, pleading with God. Mark 5, when Jairus went to Jesus to touch that little girl, the Bible said he fell at his feet and besought him greatly. Lord, I beg you, I plead with you, I'm pulling on your heartstring, come and heal my little girl. And the Bible said, and Jesus went with him. And can you imagine the children of God pulling on the heartstrings of sovereignty, the heartstrings of deity? And I heard a presidential candidate say one time he was so proud of himself, he had never begged anybody for anything. I'm here to tell you, I have begged God on multiple occasions. God, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. How do you, that bird gets lost enough and gets under Holy Ghost conviction enough that he sees himself a sinner bound for hell, he'll beg God for mercy. I wonder how many remembers when you got under conviction and you realized you was a sinner and said, oh God, I'm begging you, I don't want to go to hell, save me and save me now. I beg God to touch my family. I beg God to relieve stress. I beg God to move mountains. And by the way, it's okay for you and I to beg, to employ, to beseech, to pull on God's heartstrings. But here he turns the table and God said, you know all them times that you begged me and employed with me and you pulled on my heartstrings to get me to react in mercy? Boy, I'm glad he did. But God said, I want to talk to you a minute. I want to beg you just a minute. I want to employ you just a minute. I want to pull on your heartstrings just for a minute. And I thought about it. What greater word for God to use for him to woo, draw you and I to a dedicated relationship. God says, you beg me, now I'm going to beg you. God says, you've employed me, now I want to employ you. God says, you have appealed to me on the basis of mercy. I want to appeal to you on the basis of mercy. God says, you've reached up and got a hold of my heart before. Now, I want to come and get a hold of your heart. I am not surprised that the first thing God is aiming for, wooing you and I to be dedicated, he's not aiming for our head, he's aiming for our heart. I got a text message the other day from one of our members that said, Brother Joe, I appreciate the mistake you made yesterday. And I'm thinking, oh boy, here it comes. I appreciate the mistake you made yesterday. And I text back and I said, what is it? Said, I think he was aiming for my toes, but you got my heart before we got out of that. Man, I've never wanted to step on toes. I believe I have before, but I don't want to step on toes. I want the Holy Spirit to reach down on the inside and pull on your heart. Because if God ever gets our heartstrings, He's got us. I've heard people say this, I'll tell you right now, oh, so-and-so, he just loves money. And if you ever get his money, you got him. So-and-so loves hunting. If you ever get his hunting, you got him. So-and-so loves cars. So-and-so loves this. So-and-so loves that. And preacher, if you'll just get a hold of his cars or his money or his habits or his hobbies or his collectibles, if we can just get a hold of that, we can get them. I disagree, ladies and gentlemen. You get someone's heart and their soul and their mind and their spirit. You'll get the money. You'll get the dedications. You'll get the affections. Ladies and gentlemen, if God gets a hold of your heart, you'll run the offering plate down. You'll knock the door of the church down. When God gets a hold of your heart, you don't have to sign any commitment sheets and shake hands with some 2x4 preacher and promise him you're going to live for God. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your heart and captivates your heart and pulls your heartstrings, ladies and gentlemen, it's easier to serve the Lord when you got your heart into it. How many times have you begged, but we ain't going to get no further than here. But I'm going to drop my anchor. I feel good right here. How many times have we begged and employed and pleaded with God? And we said, God, have mercy. I remember when my mama's feeding tube quit working. And she went 19 days on nothing but a drop or two of water on her tongue. And the cancer on the inside was eating its way on the outside, laying all over her in the bed, pure unadulterated cancer. I stood at the foot of my mother's bed and I begged, I pleaded, oh God, have mercy on my mother. As much as I missed her call at 9:30 to pray with me today, as much as I miss knowing that she's not going to be there when I call her, and all of that relationship we had is gone in my heart, even though I'm sad and I miss her greatly, man, I'm glad this morning she's not laying in a bed with cancer eating its way out and going all over. I'm glad God finally had mercy on her. Have you ever just begged God for mercy? Lord, I don't deserve a thing. I'm just begging you for mercy. God, I'm not asking you to look at my tithing record. I'm not asking you to look at my long list of good works. God, I'm not asking you to bring out the scales and you weigh your goodness on one side and my goodness on the other side. Boy, if he does that, we're all going to be out of balance. But how many times have you just ever said, God, based on your mercy alone, I'm reaching up to your heart. God, I'm pleading based on your mercy. Anybody ever done that? Look what's happening in the text. A sovereign, righteous, omnipotent, holy, omniscient God is reaching into your heart and reaching into my heart and pulling on our heartstrings. And just like we do God, it's based on mercies. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I'm pulling on your heartstrings based on the mercy of God. You say, what in the world is God saying? God is saying, look how good I've been. Look how holy I've been. Look how gracious I've been. Look how much I love you. Look how much mercy I've extended upon you. And not on my righteousness, not on my holiness, not on my justice, but based just on my mercy. I want your heart. You say, well, Brother Joe, is there anybody here ever cashed in on God's mercy? Well, let me ask you like this. Anybody not in hell this morning, raise your hand. If you're not in hell right now, raise your hand. you're not in hell right now, raise your hand. Some of you's home may be there, but if you're not in hell, raise your hand. Now turn to somebody with their hand raised and say, I'm looking at mercy. I'm looking at mercy. I don't believe anybody today in their right mind. If I called on 20 people at random, and boy, you call on 20 people at random, you better have a camera rolling because it's going to be interesting. But I could call 20 people, I believe, at random and just ask them this question. Do you deserve to be saved? Do you deserve to go to heaven when you die? What was the work you did? What was the price you paid? I believe any random 20 people in this room that say, oh, Brother Joe, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven. Well, how you going? They'd probably say something like this. By the mercy of God and the grace of God, all of us are recipients of the grace and the mercy of God. And God said, look at my mercy in your life. Look down into your life. If you see my mercy, if you see my love, if you see my grace, based on my mercy towards you, I'm pulling your heart. I'm pulling your heartstrings. I'm pleading. I'm imploring. I'm begging. Ladies and gentlemen, in the light of the mercy of God, we can't help but serve the Lord. And there's a powerful word in verse number 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Brethren. And just when you think you know what a word means, look it up. And when I got a hold of this, I about shouted my choir robe plumb off. Though what brethren in this text literally means, those that have passed through the same channel of birth and have been begotten by the same seed. Wow. How many of you here today, you have a brother or a sister? You have some type of sibling. Some you like and some you don't like. Keep your hands lifted. How many of you got some that a little bit goes a long way? Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. You know why Brother Shane and Miss Mandy are brother and sister? Now, we wonder about Michelle because she don't look like y'all. Maybe she takes after the royal side. But there's no way that Mandy and Brother Shane or Miss Mandy and Brother Shane or Miss Shane and Miss Mandy can ever deny one another. You look at them and look at their mother. I hope I'm not going out on a deep end, but I got this feeling that you and Mandy and even Michelle have the same mother and the same father.
Yes, sir.
Are we good? Now, y'all like singing. Y'all like going to church. What's that meant y'all like?
Eating.
Mandy, I would disown him for that comment. I'm glad you like eating. I'm glad you like going to church. I'm glad you like singing. Do you like your mama?
Amen.
Do you like your daddy?
Yes, sir.
Do you like Michelle?
No comment.
Okay. You get my point? They are brother and sister, not because they like church, not because they like eating, but because the same seed begot them. They came from the same mama and the same daddy. Lord have mercy. I got three older sisters. And I have very little in common with them because we're just all different. They don't hunt and fish and you know the finer things of life. They shop and shop and shop and shop. And they all like to go to church and they all like to read the Bible. We all love mom and daddy. But there was a deeper bond than that. We were begotten by the same seed. And boy, if you're here today and you've been born of the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, Can I remind you this morning, there are not two ways to be saved. There are not four ways to be saved. There are not seven ways to be saved. There is one way to be saved, drawn by the Holy Spirit, introduced to Jesus Christ, and washed in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, washed in the blood, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you are in the family. You don't join in this family. You're not drafted into this family. You're not abducted into this family. Ladies and gentlemen, you are born by the Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God. And He's saying, I'm talking to those that know the Lord, those that have been born again, those that have been to Calvary, those who have experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ because of God's mercy. I'm pulling on you. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. And let me ask you this. Who would want to serve the Lord any greater than somebody like you and I that's passed through the same channel of birth, regenerated by the Spirit, washed in the blood, received the mercy of God? If anybody ought to want to live for God, it ought to be you and I. Several years ago, this lady said to me, she said, are you angry that they took prayer out of a lot of schools? I said, yes, I am. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of families took it out before the school did. And a lot of churches took it out before a lot of families did. Ladies and gentlemen, if anybody ought to feel indebted to Jesus Christ, it's those of us that are brethren. Those of us that have been born again, washed in the blood, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Man, if anybody ought to love Jesus, it ought to be the saved. If anybody ought to be close to Jesus, it ought to be the saved. If anybody has an overwhelming, burning desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it ought to be you and I that have received the mercy of God. In the light of how good God has been to us, He pulls on our heartstrings. I was probably 14 years old, and I made a terrible mistake one day. Now, I didn't forget to take out the trash. I didn't forget to feed the dog. It was worse than that. I popped off with my mouth to my mama. And my daddy heard it. Somebody said, are you a premillennialist? Yeah, but I done been through part of the tribulation period that day. And I don't mean that first 3.5 years quiet time. I mean them last 3.5 years, the time of Jacob, the great tribulation. First of all, he grabbed me and gave me this lecture. I love you more than I love your mama more than I love you. Thanks, Dad. And boy, if you ever make me choose, your mama wins every time. Thanks, Dad, because you're going to meet some girl, you're going to get married, you're going to leave home. I'm stuck with your mama. He said something like that. And he took me to the woodshed, tore my tater patch. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me just say it like this. Whoop my hind end. That's a Larry Brown expression. Tore me up. I marched off to my room. My room. It's still his. He paid the bill. I'm going to my room. He said, that's my room, my bed. It's all mine, son. Hey, parents, you pay the bills. That's your house. That's your place. It's okay. Exercise some authority. They'll appreciate it one day. Maybe. He was gone about an hour, hour and a half. And I heard that old truck pull up. You could hear it pull up. It was a Dodge. It sounded like a sewing machine coming down the road. I heard him pull in, and he blew the horn. I went out there on that. We lived in a little single-wide trailer beside the little cinder block church. And I went on that little makeshift porch, about 4x4 little plywood. And looks like the termites done ate it up. I said, what is it, Dad? He said, come out here and help me. I said, okay. He said, help me get this stuff in the house. And I said, what is it, Dad? He said, well, open the box. Here's my knife. I opened the box. And there was two speakers about this big. Now, you young people are not going to get this next illustration. Brother Jones, you and I are going to have to fill in this generation on. There was another box about that big that had an AM and FM radio on it. A hole in the side of it about this big for 8-track tapes. I told you they wasn't going to get it. A little compartment on this side for cassette tapes. And then a big old thing on the top for a dinner plate that had an arm stuck out there and a needle on it called an LP33. A stereo. You could record on the 8-track. You could record on the cassette. You could record off of the radio. You could record, man, and a microphone. I fell in love with a microphone. I've had one in my hand that day since. And I said, Dad, what is this? Now, I want to tell you something about my father. When he started quivering that bottom chin, and them tears started rolling down his face, he could break the hardest of hearts. And I said, Dad, what is this? He I know you've been wanting one of these. And I've not been able to afford it. But Mr. Barnes down here at Barnes Appliances, let me have it on credit. And gonna let me have it for $5 a month. My daddy pastored there 10 more years and never did pay that man. I had to go pay him off for that stereo. Well, we put that thing in the house. I put it in my room. You know how when you're a kid, you anticipate getting something? And man, when you get it, you think, man, I'm going to enjoy the fire out of this. This is going to be awesome. I've dreamed about this. I've looked at the catalog about it. That's something else y'all don't understand. Because back then, there wasn't no Google or no tweeters. And I said, oh man, this is going to be awesome. And I remember anticipating, man, I get this bike. I'm going to ride it. I'm going to get this gun. I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to get this dog. And man, I dreamed about that stereo. I dreamed about that AM, FM radio. I dreamed about that long thing the album looked like a CD on steroids. I dreamed about that and dreamed about having one of that playing the good old gospel music. I mean the Inspirations and the Florida Boys. And man, we're going to have a gospel concert every day right here at the house. I loved that stereo. I kept it till I got married, but I never did really enjoy it like I wanted to enjoy it, because every time I looked at it, I thought how mean, how stupid, come on now, how out of line I was, and my daddy's quivering chin and tears running down his eyes. Man, I didn't deserve any of that, but he wanted to bless me on purpose. And I want to tell you, I'm glad God looked down through the corners of time. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I just dropped my bucket and preached like a country preacher. That God looked through the corners of time and looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And he loved me and he saved me and he kept me from going to hell and forgave me of my sins, changed my life. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When my daddy got sick and my mama and daddy had to live on meager fare, by that time the Lord had blessed me. And for the last 20 some years of my mama and daddy's life, to the best of my abilities, I'd made sure they didn't want for nothing. They didn't owe me, but boy, I sure did owe them. I'd done my best to put both of them away in a nice royal state. I wanted to be as good to them as I could be, because I was so grateful they had been so good to me. But I'm going to tell you something, as good as my daddy was to me, and as wonderful and good as my mama was to me, there is a Savior named Jesus Christ, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's been better to me than my mother, and been better to me than my father, been better to me than anybody on this earth. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need and loved me, blessed me, and saved me. And I just want to tell you something, He's got a hold of my heart. I said, won't you just quit the ministry? He's got a hold of my heart. Why don't we just all quit and throw in the towel and give up? We can't. He's got a hold of our heart and He won't let go. In closing this morning, anybody ever got upset at your husband or wife? Biggest bunch of hypocrites I've ever preached to. Or they're scared one. Brother Gary, you get a little bit upset and you get pooched mouth. Then I'll preach her a wife's funeral. And I'll say, I bet they'd like to have one more argument. Catherine, I see you, my buddy and your husband's not with you today. There's an empty place there. And thank God for the memories. You young people, you better be good to your mama. You be good to your daddy. I've stood right here on two occasions and said goodbye to the dearest people on this planet to me. And boy, I'm glad when I walked up there. Man, I'm just going to tell you now, you better be good to folks while you can. And man, I was thinking the other day, how mad we get, how upset we get at this, and we get this and get that. And we got to stop and just say, hey, in spite of the troubles and the trials and the setbacks and the disappointments of life, God has been overwhelmingly out the top, out of the bank, over the charts, over the center field fence, merciful, kind, and gracious. And that's why He said, it's your reasonable service. That little woman in Virginia that's in North Carolina today, my sweetheart, for several months I've had to help her get into the choir. We're a team. I miss her. She's got my heart. I've never understood how I could love somebody so much and get so mad. I asked her one day, I said, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. But sometimes you can be so. Ignorant. Except I actually said a stronger word. Stupid. But I'll never do that again, Cox. Never. And I said, I don't understand how a woman can possess such beauty and yet so ignorant. And she said, in that Southern Belle way, well, Joe, now when she says that, she's getting ready to prophesy, boys. She said, well, Joe, it's like this. God made me beautiful. So you would love and marry me. I thought, well, that's good. And then she said, and Joe, God may be ignorant and stupid, so I'd marry you. That was not of God. How many agrees that was not of God? That was in the flesh. She's got my heart, and I got hers. Do you remember the day when the Lord Jesus reached in and got your heart? And what you don't realize today, before He ever reached in there and got your heart, you already had His. You mean I done reached up and got God's heart before He got mine? Yeah. Can we quote some scripture on the way home? You want to hear heart dedication? Can you handle it? This is real heart dedication. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We love him because he first loved us. Now when two hearts are joined together, they love each other, they follow each other. You got God's heart. Let him have yours. Let's stand all over the building. Our Heavenly Father, we love you today.